morning, colleagues. I have an essay entitled today, Malachi Martin, A Persistent Voice from the Past. You can find my essay in written form at karen-early.com, the blog name Fides at Ratio. I'll also have this video up on my video channel of Fides at Ratio on Brighteon. And a podcast. I'm working on podcasts, so there should be podcasts coming up in iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. So however you like to consume your information, it's going to be there. And you certainly, if it's within your ability to speed me up to make this go along a little faster for your time frame, please feel free to do that. I've tried that for my own self, and I found my thoughts start to get a little jumbled up when I do that. But I know it works for a number of other people. So if that's for you, that's great. This essay is going to be broken up into two parts. I try to, and with this one, I have extended past my own word count of by a couple hundred words. I try to keep my post, my blog post, to around 900 words. One time I did a superficial overview of Pat Buchanan, a writer, speaker, blog. You know, he's been in the field for decades. And so I feel that, you know, he certainly has some insight into how this writing world, journalism world works. And I found his blog somewhere between 850 and 900 words. Oh, and then I fell. I have a little bit of bruise. I thought about putting off this video, and I have put it off for a couple weeks, but I said, well, you're not tuning in to see me because I am a movie star or an actress or anything of that nature. I think we're about something a little bit different. So we're just going to muddle through with the bruise. So I'll be reading in part my blog post and commenting on it as we go along, much as I do my lectures and talks in person. Recently, the name of a long dead man has popped up with great frequency in Catholic intellectual circles. In light of the recent massive scandal enveloping the Catholic Church. His name is Father, that's in parentheses, Father Malachi Martin. Malachi was a complicated man, as all men are, and I do not propose a definitive judgment on him. So if you're coming to look for, for me to tell you what to do about Malachi Martin for your own opinion, I'm not your person. In fact, I find that whole thought, train of thought, kind of repugnant for me to suggest to you what you should think about him, what conclusions you should draw about him. Rather, as I try to do with my media presence, I will present you with some facts and reasoned opinions. So there's going to be some facts, there's going to be some reasoned opinions. And then you and I and whoever else should care to can join, make their own opinion. The telos, the goal, the objective, is quite simple for me. His book, Windswept House, bears a striking, it's not for the faint of heart, you know, a 600 pager there. But this book and some of his other writings bears a striking resemblance to the current Catholic church crisis. It also bears a striking similarity to Father Elijah by Michael O'Brien, another great tome. This is how many pager? Not quite 600, 574, 580, almost 600. Wait, nope. 597. 597 pages. So there's a striking similarity to Father Elijah by Michael O'Brien. And most importantly, or at least in terms of people who recommend such reads, is Lord of the World by Robert Hugh Benson, written late 1800s, an Anglican priest who converted. Both Pope Benedict XVI and Francis recommended reading Lord of the World, and so that's what made me pick that up. You can decide, again, on your time frame, which of those three, if any, you care to avail yourselves of. Now on to the facts. Malachi Brendan Martin, writer and priest, was born in Ballylongford County in Kerry, Ireland, on July 23, 1921. Martin was one of 10 children. He was raised in a devout home with some of the other siblings choosing the priesthood or religious life. Martin entered the Jesuits in 1939 at the age of 18 years and was ordained a Jesuit priest in 1954. He professed final vows for the Jesuits in 1957. Martin was a Jesuit priest for 10 years before leaving the order. So that's going to be one of the notes of the voice of reoccurring in the past. It's this Jesuit formation. And not just Jesuit formation from the 1600s with Ignatius of Loyola. No, this is the Jesuit formation that Pope Francis would have received, Cardinal Bio, who's going to be coming up here pretty shortly, the liberation theology kind of Jesuits. During the course of his studies, Malachi received doctorates from the prestigious universities of Louvain and Oxford. He was a professor of paleography at the Vatican's Pontifical Biblical Institute. With his scholastic grasp of scriptural languages, especially Hebrew, and one would assume Aramaic, the church relied on his expertise. Starting in 1958, he served as secretary to Cardinal Bio, a Jesuit, during the preparations for the Second Vatican Council. So, you know, there was a lot of pre-meetings, workups, that sort of thing, up to the Second Vatican Council. And Malachi Martin was part of that. A future Martinian, that's my word for the day, Martinian criticism will be his Semitism. Both pro and anti. So some will think he's too pro-Semitic, too over to the Jewish way of thought, and some will think he's anti-Semitic. But whether one is on one side or the other, it stems in large part from this work of his with the Second Vatican Council. Father Malachi, disillusioned by the reforms, asked to be released from certain aspects, and so here comes some of the opinion, certain aspects of his Jesuit vows in 1964. Here's some fact. He moved to New York City to eventually pursue a living as a writer, and he became an American citizen. Twice, Martin received the Guggenheim Fellowship. Martin might be accused of many things, but intellectually lazy cannot be one of them, and that's a fact. He had a piercing intellect and a perceptive eye. So those things, we can hang our hat on those things. Well, now we're back to opinion and why I put father in parentheses. The title father is also debated. Some reports say that he was laicized. Other sources suggest that he was not dispensed of his priesthood. Finally, the issue of whether he lived a chaste life after having left the Jesuits is also debated. He did have a woman companion, though the relationship is not clear. In this essay, I will alternate between the use of the title father. And I have a screenshot or a picture on my blog of the headstone with Father Malachi and the supposed female companion of his. Malachi Martin died in July 1999 after suffering, here's about opinion, a suspicious fall in his Manhattan apartment. He was alone at the time. Malachi told a friend at the hospital a short time afterwards he thought he had been pushed off a stool on which he was standing. Father Martin died 3 years after publishing Windswept Hill in 1996. When asked if he feared for his life, he said he was, but he was too old to change his ways. Father Martin fell into a coma after the fall and died on July 27, 1999. He was 78 years at the time of his death. Malachi, and now we're going into what Malachi asserts about his work. Malachi will characterize Windswept Hill as a faction as opposed to fiction. Faction is a nonfiction novel which, broadly speaking, weaves actual characters and events with fictional conversations and other minor details to propel the story forward. Malachi claims that 85% of Windswept Hill is true. An online key is a helpful reference while reading this book. I have a number of citations in my essay on my blog. This key is one of them, and it is kind of helpful. Again, that is speculation. Are the real characters those tracking in the book? A severe criticism is that within the course of the book, ritualized Masonic acts of pedophilia and murder are presented. Recalling that Martin purports in his book to be 85% factual, one wonders why he does not report this to law enforcement. If the events are accurate, I mean, if these horrible things of pedophilia and murder are accurate, why didn't Martin report these events directly to the police? So that's one of the big charges, and perhaps a contra to his faction assertion. I think a reasonable retort. So here's where his past voice comes into the future. I think a reasonable retort in light of Archbishop Vigano and Father Paul Kowchick, both of whom are in hiding, is that he was fearful for his life, as he previously stated. Another possible explanation is that the local law enforcement investigators could also be corrupted. This appears to be the case of the Buffalo, New York murdered priest, Father Coombs. Consider this example. So the Father Coombs, unsolved murder of Father Alfred Coombs is listed in is listed as one of my sources. Consider this example. Father Charles C. Fiore of Lodi, Wisconsin, occasionally spoke of secret missions he and Father Coombs made to Chicago to combat Satanism and priestly pederasty, according to Joseph Ostermeyer, a former St. Michael's parishioner. Their goal was to put a dent in the underground satanic pedophilic clerical cabal that operated there, Ostermeyer wrote on his blog, The Okie Traditionalists. Ostermeyer confirmed the story to Catholic World Report. He said Fiore, who died in February 2003, did not go into much detail about the trips. Although the details have faded, Ostermeyer said that Fiore described made the hairs on the back of my arms stand on end. Fiore often counseled victims of priestly sexual abuse. He supplied material to Malachi Martin for use in several of his books, including the one I'm reviewing, Windswept House. This example lends credence to Martin's claims of actual events, as well as criticism of not coming forward to law enforcement. The historical setting of Windswept Hill is within the pontificate of John Paul II, with flashbacks to a satanic enthronement on June the 29th of 1963. June 29th is the Solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. It's a day when the Pope elevates cardinals and bishops to new assignments. It is a most important and solemn day in the liturgical calendar of the Catholic Church, and it would be a perversely fitting day for a satanic enthronement. The climax, like this essay, is unresolved. The main conflicts are left unanswered, and the reader is left to supply his own conclusion. And this stops part one.